Oh, Seattle won?
That's awesome. It was apparently a bad call by Zimmer. Process over results type of play. He decided to run it, but it was with McKissick and not with Dalvin.
All right,
we are rolling. I think
Russell still had to go 98 yards to win the game or something, though, right? He did.
Did he?
I think so.
94 yards. 94. And Dalvin got hurt. It was Madison that had to take the last time.
Madison, right? So what happened to close that game? Fill me in, Tony.
So it was a 4th and inches. Dalvin Cook got hurt a couple drives before. Madison was ripping off huge yardage. 96% was the win total for Billy. If they convert the 4th and inches, it goes to 100%. If they don't convert the 4th and inches, it only goes down by like 15%. So he took a gamble. Instead of kicking the field goal, he went to ice the game. They missed the 4th and inches. Russell Wilson drove down 94 yards, converted 2 4th downs. The last one, a 4th and goal from like 10 yards out to DK Metcalf for a touchdown. On the ensuing drive, the Vikings had maybe 40 yards to get into field goal range with 2 timeouts. And there was a really bad call, I think. Kirk Cousins went to throw. And his arm got hit, but the ball went out before, and then they called it a fumble and game over.
Right.
Thank you for that, Tony.
So what was the score of the 4th and inches?
It was 26-21.
Oof.
Also on the 4th and inches, like the hole was there. The running back.
Yeah. The running back didn't take the right lane. I saw that still.
Yeah.
But it could have been 29-21 is what you did.
Right.
How long would the field goal have been?
Chip shot, right?
Yeah, nothing. It was at the 6-yard line.
I feel like you got to take the points there.
You did.
Monday morning.
I mean, Russell Wilson
didn't watch the game. Just got a description from Tony, and yeah, that's what
both
you have to
you.
Do.
Both yes. of you are the
you
best.
You got to take the field goal. It's an 8-point game. It's an 8-point game.
Never has the result been played quite as specifically as you guys being informed of the result because you didn't see it and then coming up with an opinion.
It's an 8-point game. I mean, you don't pass up the opportunity to make it an 8-point game. You can't lose if you're up 8.
But didn't Russell Wilson do the thing that Mike Zimmer was afraid of?
Yeah, beat him. You know how he doesn't beat him? If he's up 8. Okay? Because you can't beat someone when you're up 8. It's impossible. True. You can go overtime, but you can't win the game. And that's on Zimmer and this running back Miznik. I mean, never heard of him.
His face must have been so red when they didn't get that first down.
Who, Zimmer's?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And DK Metcalf he scores with his dong. DK. Whatever.
We're it should be DJ. I'm with you.
It should be, right? DK. It's confusing. All right. Sorry, Dan.
So Le'Veon Bell returns to action. 67 all-purpose yards yesterday. 60
great.
60 rushes on 13 carries and 7 receiving yards to give the Jets the jolt they need as the Atlanta Falcons fire their entire power structure, their coach and their GM, who were up 28-3 just recently. And Gase keeps his job while the Falcons fire everybody in power.
It's amazing with Dan Quinn. At halftime of that Super Bowl, I was thinking Dan Quinn's got like a 10 to 15 year run in him as the Falcons head coach. And now he's gone. Adam Gase is next. It's soon. It's coming. It has to, doesn't it? I mean, 30-10 at home to the Cardinals. I'm watching the same game every week. I mean,
I'm really surprised you entertained me leading you down the path. You actually want to talk Jets football. I'm opening with a joke.
I do.
And you want to talk Jets football. The obvious thing to talk about today is that Danny DeVito vows to never retire from acting at the age of 73. He has vowed to never retire. That's the thing that we ought to be talking about today, obviously. Sean Connery didn't choose to retire with an announcement. He just stopped getting work. Same with Gene Hackman. Like, you get to 90 years old, but DeVito's going to still be out here acting when he's 93 years old 20 years from now.
I think Hollywood retires you. It's not the other way around, right?
Guillermo, put it on the poll. Do you retire from Hollywood, or does Hollywood retire you? Because Cameron Diaz just retired, but I think she retired because Hollywood also retired her. I think you're right. I don't think anybody actually retires from Hollywood. So we've got a partially broken staff here. Chris Cody, I got vetoed on my desire here to spend the entire 4 hours without mentioning the finals at all.
Yeah,
I thought it would
by
be
by all of us, by the way, not just by Mike.
I didn't say who vetoed me. You felt the need to chime in with your veto.
That's a good point. I'm sorry.
I just said that I was vetoed.
Okay. I thought you were going to get into the details of the veto, but stand corrected.
And then Chris Cody suggested that we should be talking about just Game 5.
Oh, sex.
Duncan Robinson and Kendrick Nunn scored more points by undrafted people than anyone had in the finals since 1966. But one of the things to marvel at here, Stugat, and I told you this last week as it relates to LeBron James, we spend so much time stupidly, I think, comparing him to Michael Jordan that it dishonors his excellence as it's happening. And so he continues to get criticized at every turn. But to understand how difficult what he does is, just look at what Jimmy Butler did in elimination game, and he'll get no flack for it. Like, look at what just happened.
Yes.
After giving what he gave to Game 5, LeBron's been giving you that Game 5 across a decade. Jimmy had nothing left after that Game 5. There was nothing that he had that he could go get. When he left the press conference after Game 5, did you see how much he was just sort of hobbled? And it wasn't ankle hobbling. It was just like his whole body hurt, the way that he just climbed off the press conference stand.
It was, it's interesting because that's what separates LeBron from everyone else. The game he had in Game 5, even while losing, even though that was crushing, even though we had the media asking him, hey, did you waste a really great LeBron game? And he said, no, I'll have another one next game. That's the difference. He will have another one the next game, and Jimmy Butler could not.
But it's been maddening. It really has been maddening to me to see how he's covered, because at least in part, right, Stugatz, over the decade that he's dominated ESPN, ESPN has more and more gone to the debate format. So Jay Williams is out here still, and I thought we'd learn this already. LeBron's got four guys on him at the end. He gives it to one of the greatest three-point shooters we've ever seen, wide open at the top of the three-point line for the same shot that Kerr made and Paxson made, except, no, not the same shot, because Kerr and Paxson had a defender closer to them than Danny Green did. Danny Green had just an enormous amount of space.
He did.
And missed it, and Jay Williams crushed LeBron for not taking the shot with literally four guys on him.
No, they saw. I mean, I don't know how you do that and how you see it any other way. They sold out, the Heat did, defensively on LeBron James. You're not beating us. And LeBron made the right basketball decision, and it didn't happen. I mean, that was a great shot. He got them a great shot. The shot that LeBron would have taken would not have been a good shot. Might have gotten in, but it would not have been a good shot.
But do you realize how much better LeBron James has to be than his peers? For Jimmy Butler to have the bubble experience that he had that elevated his status, and to put together a game that if LeBron had it in losing in an elimination game, he would get eviscerated.
Sure.
He never has that game. He hasn't had it since the beginning of the decade with J.J. Barea and a team with pieces that didn't fit where we were looking and saying, how can LeBron James just have 10 points in a game?
But that's expectation stuff, right? We expect so much from
LeBron. It's his excellence, though.
Right.
That's fine. You could put your expectations up there, but it's only because his excellence demands it.
Right.
Like, you could criticize him all you want, but and you could say he's 4-6 in the finals, but the idea that you know going in that he's going to give you the 30-point triple-double. That you just know it. It's crazy. And the thing to me that should make everyone really proud of the Miami Heat beyond just the run and what an unbelievable story it was is they took LeBron's best punch in Game 5 and beat him. That's LeBron and AD. Like, if you look at the stat sheets, Stugatz, they provided more than half the threes, more than half the points, more than half the rebounds, more than half the assists for their team. Both of them were very good, almost 70 points between them. More than half the free throws, more than half the everything, and you won the game anyway. But it took so much out of you that they had nothing. That's as bad a first half as I've seen them play this year. Like, they can't have had many halves where they've scored just 34 points as good as they were on offense.
No, they had 68 going back to that game five. 68 combined, LeBron and Anthony Davis. It was amazing to watch Jimmy Butler going head-to-head with the best player in the world and one of the three best players perhaps we've ever seen. Some people think he's the best. And see him win that game. Like, they were going head-to-head, one-on-one, and Jimmy Butler pulled it out, but he was gassed afterwards. And, you know, that's the beauty of LeBron, man. He's never gassed. He never gets tired, that guy.
The Miami Heat had worked so hard to win the games that they
did. So hard.
It feels like they have to work twice as hard to get a victory, because with the length that the Lakers have, they get second-chance opportunities in waves that Miami just doesn't get. But super inspiring. That game five, through five games, Jimmy Butler was arguably having the greatest NBA finals ever. And game six, you just ran out of gas. There's that saying, leave it out all on the court. I kind of think that they did. But that first half yesterday was real ugly. Bam Adebayo had one of the worst halves of basketball I think I've ever seen.
I mean, the defense seemed to be just let him shoot.
He didn't even consider taking the shot. It was pretty telling when Anthony Davis, Bam's got it at the free throw. And we've seen Bam Adebayo make that free throw jumper so much this postseason. As soon as Bam gets the ball, Anthony Davis dropped back sort of the way that Boris Diaw would when he was guarding LeBron James. And it took LeBron 6.5 games to figure, I can take this shot. Bam Adebayo ended up having a nice second half, but what could have been with this series if they were healthy? Jimmy Butler was doing that on a sprained ankle. I mean, everyone forgot that Jimmy Butler sprained his ankle. Goran Dragic, I felt his presence was missed at times. Super inspiring that he came back. Bam
Losers
Adebayo,
lament.
Not yeah. himself.
Losers
yeah.
lament.
No one's going to remember Goran
no
Dragic.
No one cares about the
excuses. Well, I mean, they're two, no listen, remember. Two of their three best players were hot. I mean, one was hobbled, one didn't play at all until
no,
last night.
Remember.
LeBron, the last two games, that was 28-41.
Yeah, incredible.
The last two games, he was 28-41.
Very much has his own path, and his reward is going to be bumped to the C block because Dak Prescott got a dislocated ankle.
The thing that I think we can say was obvious about this series is that the Lakers could do what they did last night to the Heat, but the Heat couldn't do that to the Lakers. Like, the Lakers three different times just trounced the Heat. The games that the Heat won took, the best games of Jimmy Butler's life in order to win both of the games. And one of them, you got lucky at the end. One of them, you should have lost in five, really, if we're playing percentages on the shot that Danny sure. Green got at the end. And if you'd lost in five, I think you'd actually feel worse about this, that you were another speed bump, that you were just like all the other teams in the playoffs. I actually think that Heat fans, while we could say that you'd prefer a competitive game, I literally went to sleep at halftime last night. Not fell asleep watching the game, went to sleep at halftime because of how over it obviously was.
So did I, but that was embarrassing for Heat fans. I'm wondering,
I don't think
if
I
they
think
lose a now, very close game five as opposed to the way they lost it last night, which was the game was over after the first
no,
quarter.
No, I think I it would have been
no,
crushing.
You're out of here. Losing,
okay, good.
There's a big difference in terms of perception losing in five and six. I'm okay. happy that, and they can't take away the feel good of game five because that was tremendous. I was hoping for one of those culture games. I got two of them. Thrilled, beyond thrilled with the season that they got. And losing in the way that they did while deflating, it actually gave me a lot of time to process what had happened and come to grips.
Right.
Because if that was a tight loss, I would have had even more difficulties sleeping than I did.
I guess just for the first time, it felt like they didn't belong on the same court last night.
Not the first time, though. That happened three times in the series. There were three games in the series where they didn't seem like they belonged on the same court.
We're talking reseeding, and this is going to be a sweep, and I'll take my victory such that it is to take it to six and have a foundation that was a year ahead of schedule. You got some really good young players that you're excited about. Their future could be here, could be elsewhere. We'll see. But Miami and Jimmy Butler won the bubble.
I don't believe that anything changes in terms of the Heat's plan, I believe that the Heat's plan is going to remain to try and get a player better than Jimmy Butler and have Bam Adebayo be part of the recruiting package that brings it. But I don't think, Mike, that you can say Miami won the bubble. The Lakers won the bubble. LeBron not losing and not getting the criticism of losing and not dominating the news stream with how could you possibly lose to the Miami Heat. I don't believe there is any bigger winner than LeBron James on this. I don't believe there are a lot of bigger losers on this than Magic Johnson. Like, Magic Johnson bailed on that a little earlier than he should have because he didn't want to actually do the work portion of that job that requires some suffering.
Adam Silver would like a seat at this table of who won the bubble.
Yep. You know what? You're right, Chris. You're right.
So would Jamal Murray.
Jamal gets to sit at the kiddie table with TJ Warren. But the big boy table of who won the bubble is it is Adam Silver first, actually. Zero positive tests. Amazing leadership. I don't think too many people will be questioning NBA leadership going forward. I mean, we'll have to do all the arguing that we do on television. But I don't believe we're going to go see a whole bunch of people be skeptical of this leadership, because that was amazing what they managed to pull off.
If I give you five seats at the big boy table, okay, Adam Silver's one of them. LeBron's taking a second seat.
I'm sorry, Stugatz. There are only three seats at the big.
Oh, my God. So it's LeBron, Jimmy Butler, and
Adam Silver.
And Adam. That's it?
Right. That's the only three allowed.
I feel like Rondo is a big winner here.
Rondo's also at the kiddie table.
All of a sudden, Rondo's a leader.
Anthony Davis is also at the kiddie table. That's how hard it is to get to the big boy table.
Wow.
It took what Jimmy and LeBron did to get, and what Adam Silver did. Unprecedented. In a pandemic to get to where it is we are today. Chris, you weren't even scared last night, right? You just stared sadly at your television all evening.
I was all over the place. I was saying things on Twitter that I didn't really believe in my heart. I was just a mess. I didn't know. I felt like I was just happy to be there. But then I was just even down 30. I'm like, we got a run in us. Like, I wasn't kidding when I tweeted out just a couple run skis. We only lost by 13. Like, this is insane. Like, I was at one point in the third quarter, like, this is going to be historic. Wait, they were down by 30 plus. Chris. Spo's got him right where he wants him.
Perfect way, right? Perfect. I was thinking the same thing.
Chris, you only lost by 13 because all of a sudden Solomon Hill went crazy.
Oh, man. The Solly minutes.
Come on, I can't be the only one that was thinking it. When we were only down 13, it's like, God, that second quarter, if we could have just only lost that second quarter by 17 instead of 38.
You weren't the only one thinking it, but if you actually believed it, you were the only one believing it.
The entire time I was just like, please don't lose by 24. If the spread is 24 and you have the ball, you put it in your own basket with 5 seconds left and you just don't make that final score and lose by 24.
I wanted to talk about this, actually, not the putting the ball in your own basket, although I do like the idea of the Miami Heat just putting the turd in the middle of that Hollywood story. If you're not familiar with why Mike's saying 24 is because Kobe Bryant's uniform number was 24. And I can't be the only one who was made uncomfortable and found it a little off-putting. The fetishizing of the Kobe Bryant death. And we do this all the time in sports where we leave a locker open and then tell the story of the proud champion as if it fixes anything with the thudding finality of death. I understand that sports is the escape and I understand that people want their feel good. But the way that that was co-opted made for a lot of mushy pieces that I thought were a bit macabre. Like, it's not, winning a championship doesn't fix anyone's pain there when it comes to his family and his wife and his kids. And I don't know how they felt. I'd actually be curious how she felt, but everyone else sort of gathering around the funeral and making a show of the fetishizing of it felt uncomfortable to me. I don't know whether people got swept up in the emotion of it and were looking for the, spiritual and karmic significance of when they'd, win by 24 points because it was his uniform number, or where they'd get to 81 points or whatever it is mm-hmm. that people were doing.
I think everyone sort of knew what was happening when they decided to bump up their uniform schedule for Mamba jerseys to be worn on game five, expecting Miami to just play into that larger narrative. It seemed as though Miami let a lot of that air out of the balloon, and Kobe was really a forced question by Rachel Nichols about 16 minutes into their victory celebration that LeBron wasn't even taking the temperature of the room and just started joking around while Anthony Davis was fumbling his way around answering that question.
Yeah, that was awkward. Yeah. I didn't know if they didn't hear the question that was being discussed, but it was like they were just like messing with them. It's like, do you know what question he's answering right now?
I get what LeBron was doing, and he's very much carved his own path. Felt a little clunky and awkward. The Rob Pelinka deserves respect, and I want my damn respect. I guess I don't know if he goes into a marketing meeting and decides what he's going to put on the T-shirt, but that was the message he came out with, and I guess he can be defiant, but he wasn't. I felt like this one was different, LeBron. The defiance, he's been, I mean, so harshly criticized by the media that I guess he's always going to wear that, but it was just an odd time.
Oh, but he's got to be considering his own basketball mortality, like 35 years old. I can't believe what his body's able to do. But
it seems like he's not close to being finished.
Well, but that's correct. But you guys were making a lot of jokes about how desperate he was to make sure this season got to the bubble and continued to get played because his window was closing. And Stugatz, you were pretty damn hard on LeBron last year for not making the playoffs, like for going Hollywood and not making the playoffs. Like, my guess is that, of course, there would be some hissing defiance. That man's life, do you know how wonderful that man's life otherwise is to have to go spend 4 months in that bubble? Like, that is a I understand that for us, the lay people, we're like, what are you talking about? That's not an inconvenience. But never mind in a bubble, just spending 4 months in Orlando, but 4 months in a bubble where you can't leave, that had to be a life-altering thing for LeBron in a way that was pretty uncomfortable given how great his life normally is.
Just to be clear, I know there are people who say, hey, sign me up for the bubble right now. That guy, but LeBron lives in his own bubble. I mean, he does. He doesn't need to go to Orlando to go in an actual bubble. He's got a big palatial house that he doesn't need ever.
I'm just saying his life is a lot better. And the reason football's got a bunch of positive tests all over the place is because not even football, which breaks every disposable body out there, was going to ask its players or get the union to agree to its players being dehumanized that way by spending 4 months away from their families and their home and breakfast in their own kitchen. I understand that many people are saying, oh, get out of here with that. What I'm saying to you is if he's going to do that, he can't leave the bubble with a loss.
Correct.
Like, he's got to, if he's going to do that, if that's the sacrifice that he's going to make, he's going to want to leave there with his, you know, not people questioning his legacy on a Monday morning.
Well, don't forget, he almost also ended the bubble himself by walking out of that meeting. He didn't walk out of the bubble, which would have ended it because of their protocol, but there was a very real possibility that LeBron James would have just stopped the entire experiment. He's the face of the league. He knows that he has the power to do so, and now he's a four-time champion as a centerpiece of three different teams. It's a path. We're all going to struggle to compare it to other people because there is no comparison. And what he's doing at that age, certainly no comparison.
How much longer do you guys think he could do it? Because, like, 3 years from now, is he still going to be playing at this level? They're the favorites next year. Dude, they're already the favorites next year.
When he drives the lane,
you can't do anything.
You still can't do anything.
I understand. But 3 years from now, will you be able to do something about it? 3 years.
He's developed his shot.
He's 39.
I still trust him on the outside. He could be 45 years old. And I still think he's so skilled and smart and strong, and his shot is developed. He's the greatest basketball player of my lifetime.
I thought that Bomani, and I'm more comfortable with him doing it because I'm not going to say what somebody's signaling versus actually feeling as it relates to the social justice stuff. But I thought Bomani applied a cynicism that was interesting, given that LeBron James helped get everyone into the bubble. The fact that he walked out of the meeting with a great big show of I'm not going to play under these circumstances, but didn't actually leave the bubble, was the correct public relations marketing play, if you wish to be cynical about those things. Like, to do the big blustery, I'm leaving the bubble, but not actually leave the bubble, and then it's Milwaukee who actually boycotts, and then everyone resumes and you win your championship. Like, that's the way to play that if you were interested in public relations.
We're in it. Obviously, most of us on this show are true Miami Heat fans, and we're super invested. I've been watching Get Up on mute for 20 minutes. Not a mention. And nationally, it just feels that you're just sort of yawning indifference meeting this LeBron James title. It's been 20 minutes of Dak Prescott. I mean, they're even blurring out the injury. It's not a mention of LeBron James winning his fourth NBA title.
Did it feel like someone was winning a title last night? I'm not a fan of either team.
No,
it didn't. Right?
No, well, it's awkward with the family there, and there was funny stories coming out of what happened in Game 5 between the Miami Heat families and the Los Angeles Laker families. I did enjoy those videos, and I did enjoy the nugget that LeBron actually packed up his bubble before Game 5 because everyone was thinking that series was over that game.
Well, so, they had the confetti cannons on the court and stuff. They had to put those away. They were disassembling some trophy ceremony stuff that they had to put away. Look at Chris laughing over there. That's your championship, though, Chris. Well, that's your championship, that they had to put the confetti stuff away for a couple of days.
No. I'm laughing at something completely different. I'm laughing at the idea of LeBron packing up his own stuff by himself and not having a guy that does it.
Right, I'm sure he was packing. Yeah.
I have him on, like, you guys know, like, the whole cleanup of a hotel room.
He doesn't exactly have a duffel bag that he packs his shirts into and his shoes, where he's carrying, like, the other thing over his shoulder. And he's, like, calling the front desk for the luggage cart. Oh, I need the luggage cart to take things out. That's not how these things work.
Some poor staff person now had to unpack after game five all his stuff again. And it's just kind of...
I imagine that the way LeBron's stuff leaves the bubble is the way Cleopatra would. Like, carried by guys wearing, togas or shirtless and just carrying stuff out.
But don't you guys think he packed on Friday night, then lost that game and told whoever did the packing on Friday, told that person, hey, just get me one day's worth of clothes. Ooh, we'll be here for you, right?
No, I've got him checking out of his room and having to, like, on a moment's notice, find a new room within the Walt Disney World Resort. So got to go to Fort Wilderness. Hey, do you have any openings? No, I got to go to Port Orleans. Okay.
How about Eric Spoelstra opening his press conference with 30 seconds of tears? We have not seen that from him before, right? He's a bit of a robot. Like, we'll see him get angry, but you have not seen him be soft. The thing that it made me think immediately is, oh, he's got kids now. He's got kids, and sort of he is tapping into a deeper well of emotions because he's just got access to stuff that he doesn't have access to or didn't have access to when you're sort of grinding through your youth to get to where he is now.
I viewed it more as this was a team. Maybe it's something to do with family and kids, but this is a team that he didn't expect to make this kind of run, get to an NBA title, come to within two games of winning an NBA championship, all the sacrifices that were made, Goran getting hurt, Bam getting hurt, Butler becoming a superstar. I thought it was that kind of emotion.
I may have miscommunicated because I'm not saying he was crying because he's got his own kids. I'm saying he's never cried before in front of us because he hasn't had access to the reservoir of emotions because he's had teams that he's loved before. He's had teams who have taken him through a pressure cooker. Maybe he hasn't had this surprise, and you might be right. Maybe if you asked him, he said, yes, I loved this team more than any team I've ever had. But I just think with maturity and when you figure out how hard it is to get there and to get there without LeBron and those guys, like, I mean, say what you will about not caring about what the public thinks, but it's always said of Phil Jackson, for example, who won a ton. Well, show me all the times he didn't do it with legitimate stars. Show me all the times that he got to the finals without Shaq or Kobe or Michael. I mean, Eric Spoelstra just got to the finals arrived at the bubble with a guy, didn't have a superstar. Now, you guys may say that Jimmy Butler is now a superstar, and he certainly had a superstar series. He did not have a superstar elimination again, an elimination game.
Well, he did. Game 5 was an elimination game.
This elimination game.
I thought Spo was getting emotional because he didn't go to Olynyk quick enough in that second quarter.
I mean, a lot of people were calling for Kelly Olynyk yesterday, and you have to sort of remind him he played 0 minutes in that game five. It's hard to take it.
I mean,
plus
they were
19. It's
Mike,
hard to do
they were desperate. They were desperate early. Yeah. I mean, people wanted to see anything.
Yeah, look, they were so much better. Miami had to work so hard. I think that's part of what you're seeing when Eric Spoelstra cries. He knows exactly the sacrifice those guys made because he himself was away from his two kids. They weren't in that bubble with him. He knows how hard Goran Dragic was working to get back onto that court. I think he himself was inspired by the effort that they did everything that he asked him more. The photo of Jimmy Butler just hunched over the scorer's table after he's playing 47 minutes and change. That's everything that they've ever preached to their players. That team embodied it, and it just wasn't good enough because what also is a part of Heat culture, and it doesn't go on the t-shirt, is we also get the free agents because they see what we can do with the other guys, and we need to get the free agents again.
The hunched over the scorer's table, I saw a lot of good internet mockery of just him being the mechanic telling you that was going to run you about 350 and he might need to fix some other things. Like he
leaning
he
in just, for it.
I mean, he did look, he did not look like a professional basketball player. He looked like someone who could fix your lug nut.
He was guarding an alien for 48 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that game they did stuff interesting. They were like, you're on AD for most of the game, and then clutch time, you're on LeBron James. It's a massive achievement that they won that game five. Incredible. Incredible series, incredible season. But the Lakers are very clearly better.
You mentioned the Olynyk criticism because I've heard a good deal of that, and we can certainly play the results on all this stuff. I just came in here and saw Tony and Chris explaining to Stugatz what happened in the Minnesota-Seattle game. He didn't see any of it and actually came in and said, wait a minute, Seattle won that game? And they explained to him everything that happened, and then he's like, oh, Zimmer's got to kick it there and take an eight-point lead. So he literally played the result.
Couldn't believe it.
As he was getting the result, having not known the result before he got it, not having seen for himself any of the details that resulted in the result, and he immediately went to firing Zimmer and questioning Zimmer. So there are many people today who are questioning not playing Olynyk more, and I pointing out that Bam was hurt, and pointing out that in that frustrating first half, Bam clearly didn't want to shoot from the perimeter, either because he's hurt or for some other reason. I would imagine it's because he's hurt. And then they saw what Olynyk did, and they're like, put in Olynyk. But to my way of thinking, you play with all of those players who got you there and you take your chances. I mean, Stan told us that Olynyk and even Myers Leonard would be against the Lakers a better offensive option because it pulls Anthony Davis away from the rim. He can't do what he was doing yesterday, which is just playing off a free throw, Bam, and just staying in the lane and bothering everybody. That's why the reason the Heat had the half they did, like when you looked at the first half and when that stuff was being decided, everything the Lakers were doing was shoulder first at the rim, shoulder first at the rim. And the Heat are bombing away from the perimeter because they didn't want to mess with Anthony Davis inside.
But to do that, and if you want to say play Kelly Olynyk, I'll say sure. But they tried that in this game, going small and not having Bam Adebayo in there. It was the worst stretch of the game. They were so small, and they weren't pulling out Anthony Davis. He wasn't really fearing any of the threat that was out there. They had five guys on the perimeter. They weren't dragging him out. Hell, whenever Bam Adebayo went to the free throw line, Anthony Davis would just run back to the hoop. They know their size advantage. As soon as the news came out that Dwight Howard was out of that starting lineup, I said, shit, they figured it out. We got nothing here.
I mean, Zimmer doing that with his best running back who's out. Dalvin Cook was injured. I mean, you need a yard or two. And you know, I mean, a field goal makes it an eight-point game. You can't be beat if it's an eight-point game. Fire him.
Chris. Jimmy did change his tone a little bit in the post-game press conference last night. I never really talked about that.
Yeah. Thank God. I was a little worried that he'd be locker room cancer again, malcontent. Let's do. Can we do Miami Clemson here because the show is Big Suey's more geared towards Heat reaction.
Yeah,
I mean millions, hundreds of millions of dollars in resources, leaning on a media partner and an entity in Disney, the likes of which we've never seen before. to have Miami versus Los Angeles, to have LeBron James win a title, and to not show up on daytime programming 30 minutes in to an hour and a half long show is amazing.
172 games, zero positive tests. How do you explain, given the way that we've covered LeBron James over the last decade, Stugatz, how do you explain Dak Prescott Football Monday? I thought for sure LeBron James, not that this is the indicator, the story of the day, if you're checking in on Good Morning America, I'm sure it's not Dak Prescott's injury. I'm guessing that it's still going to be LeBron James winning the championship.
From what I've seen and the outpouring of love and thoughts and prayers, I wouldn't be surprised if Dak Prescott is being covered on Good Morning America.
Well, for starters, it's the NFL. It's America's team. It's America's team's quarterback. It's a guy. There's a story there where he didn't sign the long-term deal when many people told him to, and maybe he cost himself $75 million. So all of that's...
It's the gruesome nature of the injury, too.
Right.
Tears on the cart driving away.
Yeah, and plus that game was over at halftime last night. So it feels like we've been celebrating LeBron and appreciating LeBron since halftime of last night's game. But again, it was a weird feeling towards the end of the game. It almost didn't feel like anyone won a title last night. It was odd.
Because of the no fans.
Yeah.
And I will say that there was a certain sadness in seeing the Michelob Ultras lined up and no, like, you're in antiseptic sort of Disney studio hallways. There is an antiseptic nature to what was happening there that seemed to not have the emotional notes that you want from your and noise and stuff. Like, there was no ambient noise. It's just you can't hear anything that feels like joy, only the hissing defiance of the players in the huddle, which might also happen when they're on the court, but you do not hear it because it's so loud around them.
I mean, LeBron was doing his best to try to sell that it was exactly like all the other NBA titles, but it wasn't. Like, we all know.
Wait a minute. He gets to decide that for himself. Chris Cody was... No, you get to decide
it
for him.
I get to decide it. I mean, I can have an opinion on it if I'd like.
You can have an opinion, yes. But when he says that it's... when he says of his four titles what it means to him, he's allowed to have an informed opinion on what it means to him that's more informed than yours.
He says that every time he wins it, it's the most important one. Yeah.
I trust my opinion more than I trust his.
Yeah.
I mean, he's less of a liar by leaps and bounds than you are.
Chris was debatable.
Chris and Gilbert about that one.
All right, put it on the poll, Guillermo.
And Mickey.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. Who's more of a liar, Stugatz or LeBron? Chris, you were mad at Frank Vogel.
I mean, not mad at him, but just, geez, act like you've been there before, even though you haven't. Like, he was just very excited. He was doing the things that, like, I was expecting Dion Waiters to get in front of a microphone and be like, we did it! How about those Lakers? And it was Frank Vogel. And it's like, dude, usually the coaches stand back on those on-court post-game things. And Vogel was just very excited, and it was just a little off-putting. I was also very bitter.
I thought that coaches and managers, most of them, they do what you're saying there, Chris. Like Jim Leland and others, they will let the players have the moment because it's their moment and not do a lot in the way of getting in the way. Like, they actively avoid those situations. Vogel did not.
Did you guys catch the back and forth between Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy that was odd, where they were praising Vogel and what a great job he did? And then they're going like over the top, like, he took such a hard job and he did so great and this was really a risk for him and blah, blah, blah. And then Mark Jackson finally comes in and goes, just to be clear, this wasn't a very hard job. It wasn't a hard job. And then him and Jeff are arguing back and forth whether or not Vogel had a hard job or whether it was easy for him to win the title.
It's funny, the guy who has LeBron wins. I mean, Vogel couldn't beat Spoelstra when he didn't have LeBron.
I feel like for 10 years we've been having some form of the discussion, whether it's Spoelstra, whether it's Blatt, whether it's Ty Lue, whether it's Vogel. We've been having some form of the discussion, though, like, you know, should they get any credit? They had LeBron, but we still make fun of Blatt because he's got forever on his resume that he didn't win with LeBron.
He only had one shot. He got to the finals, didn't he?
But he didn't win with LeBron. All the others have. All the others in the last few years that he's had end up winning the title. But I feel like we've been arguing about it was a hard job once Spoelstra had it, according to the Van Gundys.
Right. That was a hard job. We can agree. That was a hard job.
Yeah, that was the hardest job in the history of sports, no doubt.
It did feel like a championship, those two guys, if you had Instagram, because I'm sure a lot of people flocked to J.R. Smith's Instagram, Alex Caruso's Instagram, Dion Waiters' Instagram. Yeah. And if you did, you would see in the comments of their IG lives that the team bus left Quinn Cook at the arena. Oh. And he was commenting on everyone's Instagram lives. Guys, make a U-turn. You left me. Guys.
I love that Stugatz, during the pandemic, again, this is what's wonderful about professional critic Stugatz. They go 172 games in the bubble. Yeah. They get zero positive tests. The support they get from their ally and corporate-sponsored mascot of this show, Stugatz, is for 4 months. There are no fans. It doesn't feel the same. And a bunch of home court jokes. Like that's what Stugatz gave Disney for its dollar for 4 months on basketball analysis. I thought for sure you were going to come in here. I can't believe the Lakers won on Miami's home court or some sort of home court joke.
It would have meant more to do it at the Staples Center, honestly.
It would have, right? Or do it at the AAA. Imagine LeBron won that thing at the AAA, huh?
We are now in minute 35 of GetUp's full coverage of Dak Prescott's injury.
No, Mike.
Yes, LeBron. LeBron was a trivia question on a bump in. I've been watching the entire time. It's all about Dak Prescott. This is amazing. That's football crazy. Is king.
What was the question? The only guy in NBA history that has 3.5 titles?
All right. So I just want to put a bow on this real quick here, going back to the very beginning of where it is that we were. I just want it noted for the record that I came in today with the idea of let's not talk finals at any point during the show, and it was vetoed. And Dan, don't be absurd. It's the NBA Finals. We got to talk about the NBA Finals. Don't be absurd. GetUp has now gone 40 f***ing minutes without talking about the NBA Finals.